Be instant in season, out of season. Brother Malcolm, please.
I wonder how many of you, like me, sort of hear things every now and again and sort of puzzle them through and sort of wonder what was all that about or something like that. Sometimes we may see a phrase that we've read many times and not notice it before. Well, this spring I was sitting in an audience in a meeting, and the brother said, "We are instructed to be instant in season and out of season." And I sort of looked at that and thought, well, what season is he talking about? It's interesting the things that go through your mind when a phrase suddenly leaps out of the page at you, as it were. And then I guess by that time I had sort of lost track of what the brother was saying, because I then began to wonder whether or not Paul was saying that there's a preaching season. And then I began to think, well, Timothy was written from Rome, at least that's the tradition, and everybody seems to be quite confident that that was the case. And Paul had just been through a rather difficult voyage a little while ago, and these things must have still been in his mind. There's that phrase in Acts, for instance, where it says that the ship could not bear up. And those of you who are familiar with sailing terminology realize that if the wind is coming from this direction, the boat can't possibly sail directly into the wind. So by bearing up, you mean how close can you get to the direction that the wind is coming from. And those old square-rigged sailing ships had a great deal of difficulty pointing up towards the wind. And we know that the wind got worse on that occasion, and so the sailors actually took ropes and tied them right under the boat, tied them as tight as they could to prevent the boat from falling apart. And then the only thing they could do as the waves got worse and the wind got stronger, was to drop sail and hope that they weren't blown onto land. All they could do was go with the wind. They couldn't control their flow at all. So what this tells us, and if you look back at the history and the geography and the climatology of the area, you realize that in those days there were times when it was difficult to travel. It was even difficult to travel by land. And certainly there were times when it was almost impossible to travel through around the Mediterranean by sea. So you see, all these thoughts were going on through my mind, and then, so maybe there was a preaching season. And then maybe this was a word that was not quite translated the way we would like it to, and the Greek had been mishandled. I don't know. Anyway, that was the way my mind went. So I thought, well, we'll put it in as a Bible class topic, and here we are today. So now I have to explain what it means to you. And it's interesting when you force yourself to look at something. Actually, what you find and what you see and what you come to realize about a particular passage. Because all those things that I just mentioned to you may indeed be the case, although probably not too important. We know also, when you're starting to think about the way the word season is used in the New Testament, that this was certainly part of Jesus' teaching. He talked about harvest. He talked about seasons in that respect. And there were occasions, certainly, when the season when people brought things in and stored them up for the winter is a strong part of Jesus' teaching and leads us toward the kingdom. So was there something of that nature in this phrase also? So I want to leave you with three things this evening. And the first one is the thought that one of the nice things about growing old is that you remember when. When I was a teenager, there were a bunch of old characters on the platform, and none of them were very interesting. They were all rather dry and boring. And they had favorite phrases. And one of those phrases I'll introduce you to in a few minutes. Because what you learn when you've been 50 years on Christadelphian, I've more than 50 years in my case, on Christadelphian platforms, you realize that indeed our message hasn't changed. Oh, it had to change in some minor details, because certainly the way Brother Thomas looked at Daniel's image, he found 10 kings, living kings, in your inly confines of the old ancient Roman Empire, and that was the way he based his interpretation of the ten toes. There are things that we have had to change, but as a group, even though our words and phrases may change, our message and our way of looking at Scripture hasn't altered, at least not in my lifetime and from the written records that I can see. And this is a great strength. And it's very important in this day and age. And one of the things that I belabor very often from the platform are all the changes that are going on in the churches and in society nowadays. And we have to be conscious that we don't allow ourselves to be taken away by those changes. The strength of the Christadelphian teachings and our approach to Scripture is that it has remained constant. It has remained, and it can still be defended. And we'll see a little of that this evening. The next thing I want to leave you with is the thought that there really is a scriptural context, and that's the word that some of the old characters who used to speak from Christadelphian platforms when I was a teenager used to use all the time. What's the context? The instant there was an idea or a verse or something that needed to be interpreted, what's the context? There was one old brother that used to sort of let it out that way, what's the context, all the time. We don't use the word context very much nowadays, but we still use the idea. It's still important to us. And indeed, the answer to my question is right there in the context. What did Paul mean by the phrase in season and out season and out of season? What did he mean by the idea that we should be instant or ready, as the translation was that was read to us this evening? What does it mean that we should always be ready, whether in season or out of season? The answer is in the context. The third thing that I want to leave you with is that there is a historical context to this section of Scripture, as there is to all Scripture. There is a historical context. That historical context flavors the words and the ideas and the way the thoughts are presented. And nowadays, as we see the churches, the world of the churches changing so dramatically in front of our eyes, we're really living in a time when our social context is very similar to the social context in which Paul lived. So it's time, I think, to look very seriously at Paul's message. It fits the day in which we live, and it's important to our day, as it was in the day in which Paul lived. Now, there are really two words, the Greek words, which are used to convey the idea of time. And this is a technique which wasn't used very much when I was a teenager in our meeting. It seems to have come to us down the edge. It's sort of the word study idea. What's the word mean? And how is it used? Well, we all had our translations. We knew what the Hebrew words were and what the Greek words were. But we didn't very often go exhaustively through the ideas of how the word was used in different parts of Scriptures. The other thoughts and ideas which surround the use of a particular word. So if you look at this word season, it's obviously a point of time. And if you think then of the way time is expressed in the Greek words which are used in our New Testament, there are really two of them, two ideas, two thoughts which are given to us. One of them is in Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and the first verse. And it's interesting that here we have both words which are used to express the context of time used side by side. In this first verse it says, "But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you." Of the times and of the seasons. That first word, time, is the word, the Greek word, which has given us the idea of chronology. All of the English words that start with C-H-R-O-N, chron, are based on this Greek word for time. And so what you've got then with that word is the idea of a date, a specific point in time when something happens. Now the season then is an interval of time which has a certain characteristic. If we think of the autumn or the winter, we pick a period of time, and we can define that period of time, and it has certain characteristics. We know what we mean when we say summertime, the summer season. But what do the words mean in this context? What is Paul driving at in this particular context? Well, if you look at verse 16 of the previous chapter, we're talking about a specific interval when Jesus returned, and we should be gathered up with him. There's the idea there in verses 16 and 17. So we're speaking of a specific time, a time when Jesus returns. But what about the season? Well, if you go a little further on down in the fifth chapter, you find Paul says, I don't need to write to you about these things. Why doesn't Paul need to write to them about these things? Because as you work your way down through that chapter, you see three or four different ways that Paul illustrates the idea that the people that he was writing to understood what he meant when he was talking about the return of Jesus. They understood what it meant to be a brother of Christ. They understood what it meant to be watching for the return of Christ. They understood what it meant to be in a fellowship that was waiting for Jesus' return. And so the idea of the season then is conveyed in the thought of the concept of a group of people who exist in time and who are looking for the return of Christ. It's a season of people who believe. It's a season of individuals who are waiting for the return of Christ. Times and the seasons. First chapter of Acts, there's another occasion there, and the two words are used together. Now, on this occasion, Jesus was in company of his disciples again after his resurrection. And the disciples said to him, Lord, what about this time? Return the kingdom to Israel. That's about verse 6. My glasses on, yes, it is verse 6. And the answer was, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his power. So you see, both the question and the answer deliver the firm idea that there will a restoration of the kingdom of Israel, and that it is in God's power to bring that about. However, we are not in a position to influence that happening. We can only wait and watch. Because we don't know the exact day, the time. We do, however, think we know quite clearly the season. With the rebirth of the nation of Israel, with the return of the Jews to establish land and homeland, we do think we know the season. But the indication there is that we may not know the season. But nonetheless, there will be a return of the Jews, there will be a rebirth of Israel, and that all happened because God had it in his power to do this. Times and seasons. So when we're talking about the passage of time, these two things keep coming up for us. Firstly, that there is a specific time when things happen. And secondly, there are intervals, periods of time, which have certain qualities, certain characteristics. And we can expect then within these periods of time to see something happen. So, what did Paul mean when he said to them, during the season and out of season? Well, I've indicated to you that what the word probably means is that there's some sort of quality to the time periods that Paul is talking about. I've also indicated to you that if you look at the context of the third chapter, the
just so happens that this is the use in this particular term very few times. That adverbs. And that adverbs develop from the word which is translated ceasing for the most part throughout the New Testament. Adverbs can usually be usually formed by putting an I on the end of our current verbs. And we'll look at one of these in a moment, one of these adverbs, but they modify things. They're words that they don't stand on their own, but they modify things. And they come to us in English with a little L and a Y stuck on the end of them. Now, one of the places where the word which is translated in season is used, other than Timothy, is in an Enoch, and it does appear to spell it. It's towards the end of Mark, it's in the 14th chapter of Mark, specifically in the 11th verse. And it introduced only in the 10th verse to Judas Iscariot and assured that he was one of the trials. And it told that he was hoping of playing by sin. And if you read that to the end of the 11th verse, he went to the high priest in the 10th verse. Another guy promised to give him money, and he said how he might conveniently betray him. And Judas thought how he might conveniently betray him. And there's the adverb, which is used in season, in Timothy, conveniently. When he was in a position to do it. When he was able to do it. When circumstances were such that he could do it. And he might conveniently betray him. Two more times where it's spelled very clearly. One's in Corinthians, but almost exactly the same as it only just looked at. And the other one, interestingly, is in Hebrews, which is the chapter. Just follow them, and then let them talk about it a minute ago. 1 Corinthians 16, in the 12th verse, the talking about Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, that his will was not as though to come at this time, but he will come. He will come. Then he shall have a convenient time. When he's in a position to go, when he's able to go, when circumstances are right, then he will go. So, within the word sort of carries a sort of hint of when you're in a position to do it. So maybe one of the things that Paul is saying there when he's talking about the instant in season and out of season is that one of the times you should do it is when you're in a position to do it. When circumstances are right that you can do it. And things come in front of you and the opportunities there. In fact, the word is, if you look at some of the lexicons and so forth, you find the idea of opportunity being presented along with this word. There's another very interesting little phrase that is used to convey the idea of that very word in season. It's in the 4th chapter of Hebrews, and it's the last verse in the 1st chapter of Hebrews. We were just talking about Hebrews. And talking about the concepts which have been transferred from the Old Testament into the New, and have been enriched and renewed and redeveloped through Jesus. And we come now to the end of the 4th verse, end of the 4th chapter. Here then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, let us hope not without profession. So we have not a high priest that cannot be touched in the healing of our infirmities, but he was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So we introduce to the fourth that Jesus is an extension.